Today we're celebrating Remembrance Sunday with a message entitled Remembering Our Saints, based on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. As Catherine mentioned in the children's story, the kids' sermon, that Friday was actually a holiday. It was All Saints Day, and typically we don't celebrate that as well within the church, but it's been a part of the church tradition for many, many years. It traces back to the early Christian church, when it was established as a day to remember and celebrate the martyrs, those that gave their lives for their faith, and those that have died in their faith, died for their faith. So over time, it has kind of evolved to recognize those who have been faithful servants of the Lord, faithful witnesses for the Lord, faithful disciples of the Lord who have passed away. And so today we're going to be focusing on the saints from McKenna Grove Church of the Brethren who went home to the Lord in the last 2 years. And before we do that, we want to consider God's word for us, and that is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, for a message entitled Remembering Our Saints. Hebrews 12, before we read this passage, though, let me set this up a little bit for you. As Catherine mentioned, Hebrews chapter 11 is sort of the hall of fame of faith as it looks back over a number of Old Testament people we've known and learned about over the years, people like Moses and Abraham and David, and it tells about their faith and the legacy of faith that they have handed down. But it also talks about others who suffered great persecution or great struggle as well, great hardship. And it talks about people who were put to death and how some of them were put to death in very torturous ways, it seems. And so when you read Hebrews 11, you can see the stories of the heroes of faith, but also you can appreciate some of the struggles and the difficulties they went through. And we, of course, are familiar with many of the names. It begins with Abel, the victim of the first murder by Cain, and continues through Enoch. And then it gives some consideration to Abraham, and on down through the patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, Moses, and on it goes, even down to Rahab. And then there's some less familiar names are given in Hebrews 11, like Barak and maybe Jephthah. And again, just a hall of fame of faith. And it's certainly important for us to consider them in light of our own saints here that we're recognizing this morning. So right after this hall of fame of faith, we find Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, which will serve as the foundation for our message today. Hear now the word of God from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, right, the writer says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Here ends the reading of God's holy, holy word. I think there's a profound reason why we have this Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of fame of faith in our scriptures. And I think it's there to encourage us to remember our saints as well, to remember those faithful servants who have gone on to their heavenly reward. And that is our first point today, is that we should be inspired by those who have gone on before us. We should be inspired and encouraged by those who have gone on in the last 2 years that we recognize with the candles being lit here this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 1 talks about a great cloud of witnesses and how their life of faith should inspire us to do what? To throw off everything that hinders our walk of faith and the sin that entangles us. We're to get rid of those things when we consider those that have gone before us and their example of faith, that we should be doing our part to disentangle from the sin and the concerns of the world and focus in on Jesus. The author is essentially saying, hey, look at these saints. Look at these saints. Look at what they endured for their faith. If they can do it, so can you. If they can do it, so can you. The writer of Hebrews is getting at the importance of remembering those of our faith who have gone on before us. You know, and as I read that Hall of Fame of Faith from those Old Testament heroes that I learned growing up in Sunday school and in church, there are some great stories of faith and obedience there, and great stories that I'm reminded of. But here, there's a story that's not included in that list that's always been a favorite of mine, and that's the story of the prophets Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was Israel's prophet for about 25 years. And we have great stories of Elijah that we like to tell over and over again, how he confronted Ahab and Jezebel, and how he was able to go to Mount Carmel defeat the prophets of Baal, and all these great stories about Elijah. Elisha, though, was the one who would come after him. And Elisha actually spent 6 years learning from Elijah. 6 years he spent as his shadow, being mentored and being trained to become the succeeding prophet. And I think Elisha was so inspired by the example of Elijah that Elijah asked him when he knew his time was running out, he said, is there anything I can do for you? As he's preparing to hand off the mantle of leadership to Elisha. And Elisha said, yes. Can you give me a double portion of your spirit? Well, that was a big ask. That was a pretty big ask. And Elijah said, you know what? You'll receive that double portion if you are with me when the Lord takes me home. And of course, we know from the story that, you know, a great whirlwind came and Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind and right before Elisha. And his cloak, his mantle came down, and Elisha grabbed it, placed it around him. And the question is, did Elisha get that double portion of the Spirit? Well, if you read the scriptures, indeed he did. Because Elijah's ministry was 25 years. Elisha's was 50 years. It was twice as long. And Elisha's ministry was among the people. Elijah's was among the rulers and the people of importance, but Elisha's was with the everyday people. He did twice as many miracles as Elijah did, and his ministry lasted twice as long. I think he got a double portion of that spirit that he asked for. It's a great story, a great story. And we should be inspired by those stories and those that have gone on before us. And so on this Remembrance Sunday, we remember these saints that we've lit a candle for here, and I'll be mentioning them here again in just a few moments. But there's a second point we need to make today that the author makes in verse 2. There he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when you read the Hall of Fame of Faith in chapter 11, you know, there are some parts that are hard to read there. The writer talks of martyrs, people of faith, being killed in very difficult, bizarre ways for what they believe, very brutal and torturous ways. But then in chapter 12, verse 2, the author talks of Jesus. And of course, we know Jesus endured the cross. And the text says, for the joy set before him endured the cross. What joy was there in Jesus and the cross? The joy was the restored relationship that we would have with the Father. That his beloved creation would be restored to the Heavenly Father. That's the joy that enabled him to endure the cross. The point we want to make is this. What these examples remind us of is that we need to be ready for life's hardships. We need to be ready for life's difficulties, because Jesus certainly had them. And most, if not all, of these saints in Hebrews 11 had difficulties and hardships and times of trial and tribulation. One of our saints that we're remembering today is Amos Cunningham. Wonderful, wonderful servant of the Lord, who I greatly enjoyed visiting him at Brethren Village. Amos loved the scriptures. He taught the scriptures here. He was a pastor. He was a school counselor. And he just loved the Word of God. But in my visits with him on several occasions, we talked about the hardships he endured. The passing of his son David as a young adult from an automobile accident in 1979 was devastating to Amos and Ruth. It was a hardship I'm not sure he ever truly got over. And then to lose his wife just a few years ago, and then to see his own body just physically failing before him, seemed to be one hardship overwhelming him after another. But here's what I remember about visiting with him, that he was always heaven-focused. He would always say to me, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go." He understood that he was just passing through this world, that these hardships that he was enduring were only for this world, and that he would be at peace and with those that have gone on before him very soon. I don't ever remember him complaining once, although I think he did question why he had to struggle as much as he did. Amos' life reminds me that our lives are filled with hardship. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And we can read those names in Hebrews 11, and we can say, yeah, they did have troubles. They did have hardships. And I think all these eight individuals that we've lit candles for up here could say the same thing, that they've had difficulties and hardships. The Apostle Paul was plagued with a thorn in the flesh. He begged God to remove it. Remove this thorn in the flesh. And didn't happen. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll get through this. I think of Clyde Dubel. Clyde Dubel was such an outgoing person. He was a people person. And he spent the last days of his life confined to a bed, unable to really talk with people. One of the things he did up at Willow Valley was he would go out and just talk to people. He loved to be with people. And at the end of his life, he couldn't do the thing that he loved to do the most. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. But he also said, take heart, I've overcome the world. We will have difficulties in this world. We'll have seasons that'll be hard. But press on, hang in there, push through it. Because we're just passing through this world. We fix our eyes on Jesus and we too can persevere. Which leads to our next point today as we remember others with thanksgiving while focusing on Jesus. The author of Hebrews says, yes, we are to remember the saints that have gone on before us, but we're to focus on Jesus. Our eyes should be on Him. Yes, it's good to remember. It's good to celebrate their lives, to thank God for their legacy of faith, but our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. When I looked over the eight saints that we are remembering today, I was encouraged in my faith journey by each of them. I remember Amos and his love for the scriptures and how he loved to talk about the scriptures. I remember John Mangus, who survived a devastating motorcycle accident and was unable to talk, but he was still communicating his hope and his love for the Lord through his expressions and through Mary. I remember Bob Kaufman, who was such a gentleman farmer, who lived his final months with confidence, assurance that God would lead him home. And I remember Donna Kreider, who persevered in the last year of her life with one hardship after another. And at each time I would visit her, mostly in the hospital, she was convinced that she was going to get better. She was going to get home. And saints like Betty Griffith, Betty who served here for so many years, I'm reminded of the importance of our service to the Lord in and through the church. That's what Betty reminds me of. And every time I think of Clyde Dubel, I'm reminded of how important our relationship with others is. The importance of knowing a name. The importance of remembering that name and sharing that name goes a long way to making someone feel special. And that's what Clyde did. I remember Doris Allman, her devotion to the Lord as she was undergoing treatments for cancer, but never questioning God, never saying, why me? Never heard that from her in my visits with her. She endured hardship with her eyes focused on Jesus. And while I didn't know Doug Heisler well, I know that his faith enabled him and his wife, Lisa, to be a part of this congregation for a season. And so my prayer is that his faith will continue to be evident in the lives of his children that he invested in as they live for the Lord and remember his faith in spite of his sudden passing. Eight wonderful saints of the church, eight who endured hardship and ran the race marked out for them. Eight who I believed, you know, struggled but never lost heart. You friends, you know, you want to make sure you're running the race correctly. We need to focus in on Jesus. Because I think Jesus is standing at the finish line. And I think he's there waiting for us. And he's cheering us. He's saying, come on, you're almost home. And I think he did that for each of these saints that we're mentioning here today. That he was at the finish line saying, come on, you're almost home. You're almost home. You're about to be at a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more disappointment, no more getting let down by others or letting others down. Only perfect, wonderful happiness. You know, friends, as we focus on Christ, we can make it through the pain and distractions of life because we know that someday it'll all be behind us. In the meantime, though, what do? We continue to run the race that's marked out for us, and we continue to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one final point we need to make today, and that point is about you. And that is, we cannot read Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 and not consider our own legacy of faith. And that is our last point today, is what are you handing to your next generation? What is your legacy of faith? What are people going to say about you when the Lord calls you home? One of the most difficult assignments I had to do in seminary, when it was a number of years ago now, I was in my 20s at the time, is I had to write my own obituary. You talk about a haunting assignment. Write your own obituary when you're 25, 26 years old. And I did the assignment. I didn't like it, but I did it. I still have it somewhere. I don't care to ever find it again or read it again. And I'm not sure what I wrote those many years ago. But the point is, I have to consider, that's what the professor's point was, consider the legacy that you're going to be handing to the next generation. And so I have to think about that. What does my legacy of faith look like? What are people going to say about me? Psalms 145, verse 4 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. So consider your own legacy. Consider what people will say about you. I've told Ruth and the girls, and I've told every church I ever pastored, that I hope my kids would someday say that Dad was the same in the pulpit at church as he was at home. I don't think they would say that right now. Because they would say, well, he's far more goofy at home. Which is probably true, you know. But I would like them to say, you know what, Dad was the same whether he's wearing a coat and tie in church or whether he's in PJs at home in his favorite reclining chair. That the legacy of faith was consistent whether he was in front of a congregation or whether he was just being Dad at home. Consider the legacy of faith that you're leaving. What will they say about you? What will they say about you? I would like to hope and think and pray that at the end of my life, I'll be able to look back and say, you know what? I didn't do anything to cause my children to stumble in their faith journey. I didn't make any decisions. I didn't sin or fall in any way that would hinder them in following Jesus. But some of you might cringe when you look back a little bit and say, boy, that was not a good season for me. Not a good example of my faith journey. So what are your legacy? What does your legacy look like? What are your kids going to say about you and your grandkids going to say about you? Are they going to say, you know, boy, they were so consistent in their faith. They were the same Sunday morning as they were Saturday night. Consider your legacy of faith. That's our final point today, and I hope that you will consider that as you think about these wonderful saints that we're remembering today. Isaiah 40, verses 31 to 32 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. On this Remembrance Sunday, may we give thanksgiving to God as we remember our saints. But may we run the race that's before us and not grow weary, not be faint, but to serve and to continue to serve well, considering our own legacy of faith. My friends, focus on the race of life. Fix your eyes on Jesus to overcome every obstacle and finish your race well. Let's face it, friends, what greater gift can we give to the next generation than a consistent testimony of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there any better thing we can give? Is that they can say, boy, they were faithful to the Lord from the moment they entered this world to the moment they left. They lived for the Lord. That's what we remember today. And that's what we need to consider, our own legacy of faith. What greater gift can we give to those that we'll leave behind than a testimony and legacy of faith and unshakable trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are remembering these faithful servants, eight of them, that passed in the last 2 years. And Lord, we recognize that they struggled through many difficulties, but yet remained faithful. They ran the race that was marked out for them, and they finished. And we consider their legacy of faith as we recognize that we too have a legacy of faith that we will leave behind. May it be God-honoring, Christ-exalting in every way. And may we run the race that's marked out for us, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your word to us today. Find us faithful, faithful as we continue the race set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.